book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Look at a few verses in chapter 4, starting with verse 7 on to verse 10. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Our Father, we pray that you would be with us in Jesus Christ by the Spirit, that we might know these things. Bless your word. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. So there's two sides to a gift. Have you ever thought about that? There's actually two sides to a gift. There's the gift itself, the gift that's given, and then there's something behind the gift. It might be the cost of the gift, the hard work to earn the money to buy the gift. It might be a hard work and something like a handmade gift. And there's always two sides to it. That's why I think it's kind of interesting when old Saint Nick gives the gifts, it actually cheapens the gifts. When a parent that has worked a long time, spent hours working in whatever field it might be to earn some money that they might purchase a gift for their child, shows something about the gift. There's the gift itself, and then there's that which is behind the gift. And as we turn to the book of Ephesians, we see that the Christ that we serve is a Christ that gives gifts to his body. He gives gifts to his people. He gives gifts to you and to me. And Paul here in verses 7 through 10, before he really gets to all the different ways that he gives gifts to men in his church, he wants us to see what's behind the gift. Like what Christ had to do to give the gifts that each one of you have, that you might have a greater understanding, appreciation, and application of those gifts. And as he opens up this gifts, we remember that he's picking up with this theme of unity. We saw last week that Paul wanted us to understand that as we're walking with humility, one with another, we remember that we have one faith. We have one God. We have one birth. It's like one. And he wants you to understand that you all are one in Christ Jesus. That there's a great unity in the church. And then he moves on to this diversity of gifts. And oftentimes when diversity comes along, it actually can splinter unity. But not so for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we get to the diversity of all the gifts, all the different graces that Christians have, whatever they may be, when used properly, it actually bolsters unity. It creates a greater unity. The unity actually is increased because it comes from Christ Jesus, and it's for the working together. So the main thought that I want us to consider today is that Christ gives Redeemer gifts. He calls them graces. Christ gives Redeemer Church. We could talk about the church more broadly, but we're just going to talk about Redeemer today. Christ has given Redeemer gifts for our unified ministry together. Like Christ has dumped a deposit of gifts onto this congregation that they might work together for the sake of our unified ministry. And by understanding this, we'll come to understand really a great appreciation of who Christ is as the gift giver, and it should encourage us to exercise our gifts, to use our gifts as we apply them. So as we look at this text, we're going to look at two points. And the first point is the distribution of these gifts, the distribution of these graces. And he says this, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Did you know that Christ is a conquering king? Like, we've been singing about it, but have you stopped? Maybe while you're driving or before you go to bed or stopped as you're walking, by the way, and thought about the fact that Christ Jesus is a conquering king. Like, he's conquered sin and death. He's conquered the nations. You know, there's a seat in heaven, and there's no election for that seat. There's a seat in heaven, and it's filled by Christ Jesus, the only one who could fill it. And it's Christ who rules over the heavens and the earth, which means Hawaii included, which means you and me included, which means your boss, your nation, it means everybody. He rules over heaven and earth as king. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he does it by subduing you and me to himself, by ruling and defending us, his church, and in restraining and conquering his enemies and your enemies. And kings, when they conquer nations, when they conquer lands, they actually receive spoils. You see, we're becoming disconnected from the idea of a king. Just think of it. You have nations warring against nations. And when one nation wars against another and they're successful in battle and they conquer the other nation, things like land, things like gold and silver, the spoils of warfare are then given to the conquering nation. Or also, you might think in Egypt, when Israel was in Egypt, God, as their king, Yahweh God, as king, battled with the Pharaoh in Egypt. And if you remember the story, on their way out, as Pharaoh is conquered by Yahweh God, the spoils of Egypt are given to Israel. There's also times in Israel's history, like under King Solomon, which we've been reading about, where his kingdom is so great that there's like the Queen of Sheba and other nations coming to King Solomon and giving the gifts that they have to him. They're giving their allegiance to him. They're giving over these gifts and his graces. So as the nations ascend and conquer other nations, then they start getting the spoils of warfare. And when we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we consider him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he's received it all. Like, he's received all the spoils of his warfare over the world, the flesh, and the devil, and his conquering work. And now he takes those spoils and he gives them to the church. He gives them to you and to me. So have you considered that Christ has conquered all the kings and given gifts to you, to his church? If he gives them to his church, and Redeemer is a congregation of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, then he's given gifts to us. And he gives you these gifts. Paul calls them graces here. These gifts to men, it's a grace that's measured out to you and to me. We see that they're measured differently to you and to me. You see, the kingdom of God is, you could say it this way, it's more botanical than it is mechanical. You see, when someone becomes a Christian, it's not like a factory producing whatever, G.I. Joes or Barbie dolls or whatever, where everyone looks exactly the same. You see, the church isn't like that. You're not like me. You're not like the person next to you. You're different from them. It's really more botanical. You know, we have botanical gardens all on this island. Esme and I, last week, were walking in one. And you look around, and there's trees, and there's flowers. and there's grass in the field, and they're all different. But the sum total of them, the flowers and the trees and the grass, when they come together, there's this beautiful garden. And they're all working together to have this greater beauty that the flower alone could not have, that the tree alone could not have. And the kingdom of God is that way, particularly in the gifts that are given to you and to me. Your gift might be look like a little flower, it might be like a mighty oak, but when they all come together, you have this beautiful garden of the Lord, which is his church and the exercise of the gifts that have been given. And so Paul here, he actually quotes an Old Testament psalm. He quotes Psalm 68, which is this great psalm of Yahweh God being the conquering king, conquering the nations. But there's this problem that we have when we get to this. Look down at your Bibles at verse 8. It says, "When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." And the problem is that when you flip in your Bible back to your Old Testament, Paul here says in the New Testament, he gave gifts to men. But the psalm says he received gifts from men. You see, he's quoting the Old Testament, but there's a difference there. In the Old Testament, it says the people came and they gave gifts to God, Yahweh God. Paul here says that the gifts were then given to you and to me. And there's some people that will say, well, you see, that's just typical of the Apostle Paul. He's just taking the word of God like a wax nose, and he's using it for his own purposes, and that's why we shouldn't believe the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. See, the problem with that is someone that would assert something like that probably doesn't know that psalm very well. Yeah, Paul uses a different pronoun there. He switches it. But what he's saying here, that the gifts were given to men, two things. One, a good king that receives spoils from his conquering work, right? God receives the gifts. A good king would then give it to his people, wouldn't he? Distribute it amongst his nation. Take the spoils of warfare and give it to his people. But also, that it really ends up summarizing the chapter. And then what it also does is it takes this focus, which is on Yahweh, and like a zoom lens, zooms in, and we see that the God, the conquering God in Psalm 68 is the same God that Paul's been talking about, Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ the conqueror. And as he is the head who's received the gifts, if we're the body, we receive them too. If we're in Christ Jesus, we receive the riches of his warfare, we receive the spoils. And he gives them to you and to me. So rather than causing a problem with the Old Testament, what Paul's doing, he's actually showing the fulfillment. That it pointed to the greater thing, and the greater has come, and the greater is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that now he gives the gifts to you and to me. So what are these gifts? What are these graces? Calvin says, no member of the body of Christ is endowed with such perfection as to be able, without the assistance of others, to supply his own necessities. A certain proportion is allotted to each, and it is only by communicating with each other that all enjoy what is sufficient for maintaining their respective places in the body. What Calvin's saying there is that you've received gifts that I don't have, I've received gifts that you don't have, and it's actually when we come together that we receive the full enjoyment of these gifts. Like just think about this. If I'm gifted to be the one that brings the word, and I have no congregation, what's the point of my gift? Like if you're not all here, what am I doing here? Or maybe we think like my friend Albert, who a lot of you are getting to know, he's a deacon at Branch of Hope. He's been given gifts to service. What if there's no one to serve? Maybe you've been given a gift. The purpose of that gift is to apply it to the body for the needs of the body. And when all those gifts and pieces come together, then you have this whole, and the whole is great, and the whole is mighty, and the whole does great things for Christ's kingdom. You see, what Paul is saying is that you and I need one another as we have our gifts. I need you. Like, I can't do this without you. And you need the people sitting in the pews next to you. You see, Christians can't be rogue. They can't operate on their own. They need the body because you've been given different portions and you need one another. So last week, I was very excited here to see a young man taking the trash out. Why would I be excited about that? Is it because taking the trash out is the most mighty gift someone could use? Maybe that's your gift. Maybe your gift is to take the trash out. But you know what I see when I see a young man taking the trash out? I like to think of it like a seed gift. Yeah, it's taking the trash out today. But tomorrow it might be something else. The day after that, that gift is going to grow. You see, so often we think of ourselves and we think, I don't know what gifts I have, what skills, what abilities to serve the body of Christ. Whatever little one you have, take it like a seed and plant it. Like, go use it and let it grow. Like, if your gift is to take the trash out, go take the trash out for the church. Go do it. And then while you're doing that, the Lord will show you more gifts that he has given you. The people in your church will identify, you know, that person's serving. They're taking the trash out and they're faithful. Hey, maybe that would be a good person to put, say, in the leadership program that they might then become a deacon. You see how our little gifts, whatever they might be, can grow into big ones. You know, Christ talks about giving a glass of cold water. Maybe that's your gift. If that's your gift, give all the glasses of cold water that you can and let God show you what other gifts he might give you according to the amount of the gifts that you've been given by Christ. Maybe that's your only gift. Just use it. And by these little things, right, we're planting these little seed gifts. They've been given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. We plant them here, and pretty soon they start flourishing and growing, and Redeemer is that great garden of... Like, Redeemer is the place where a sinner can come and they can plant themselves there, and they can partake in the body as the body is serving the needs of the body, as we're serving the needs of the world out there, and sinners can come here and it'll be a good place to come. They can hear the word. They can jump into service. They can serve you and they can serve me. And when we see people come through these doors, we can think, that's another flower for the Lord's garden. That's another person that we need because they have gifts that I don't have. They have graces maybe that have been given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's plant them here and see what the Lord does as we do the work here. Well, so how did Christ get these gifts? Like, we talked about warfare. That's a little general, right? He conquered the kings and the nations. But how did he do this? How did he accumulate the gifts, which is our second point? And Christ accumulated these gifts, the gifts that he's given to you, whether it's to serve as an elder or a deacon or taking out the trash, or maybe helping with a website, or helping with sound, or cleaning up after, or whatever it might be. He did this through his death and through his resurrection. Look down at your Bible. See at verse 9, it says, "Now this, he ascended," it's quoting the psalm, "he ascended. What does it mean, but if he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things." You see, what the Apostle Paul is bringing to the minds of the Ephesians is he's teaching them to exercise their gifts in Christian unity. He says, these things Christ got for you and for me because he descended and then he ascended. Because Christ descended. Well, what does that mean? We talk about Christ's humiliation, where the second person of the Trinity, God, took onto himself a body like yours, a soul like yours, was born by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He was made under the law. He underwent the miseries of this life, even death itself on the cross, and that he was under the power of death for a time, in the grave, in the ground. Like, it's that work which points to Christ descending. That's what he means. And then he also ascended. Okay, so we know what the humiliation is. We talk now about the exaltation. What does that mean? It means he resurrected. Didn't we sing just a second ago, Christ the Lord is risen today? Do you believe it? It's through this work that he was resurrected from the grave. He ascended up into heaven. Now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, ruling over heaven and earth. It's through this work that he defeated the power of death, that he defeated the evil one. Got all the spoils of his warfare, now gives them to you. You see, we can't be those who just are Christians disconnected from the gospel. You realize that? We need to always be connected to the gospel, the death and resurrection of Christ. The cross needs to be near to the Christian. But then if we're near to the cross, what it'll then show us is the gifts that we have for the service of the body and the service of the world. See, if you've been saved by Jesus, if you're a Jesus person, if you're now in part of the body, it's time to start working. And it might be really hard work. Christ has given you the gifts that you need, and you might not know exactly what they are. Ask your neighbor. Ask your spouse. Come talk to me. Find a place to get you working. And it might not be glorious, but God is going to be doing glorious things through the work here at Redeemer. God is the kind of God that takes the gifts that you and I have, ordinary people like you and me who will be forgotten by history, and he does great things for his kingdom. He advances it as it fights against the powers of the devil, and I can encourage you that we'll be victorious. That, like, when we're applying these gifts, we'll be doing actual great things. As Christ is the one that put himself down low in his humiliation, he was then exalted, so he calls you to do the same work. Not for atonement, because he's already done that, it's been finished. But he calls you to humble yourself through the gifts that you've been given, to apply to the service of his church, and to wait for God to exalt us in his due time. And it's through these gifts that Christ does the work of filling all in all. Which is really interesting, because back in the first chapter, there's this glorious statement at the end of the first chapter where it says in verse 22 and 23, and he put all things under his feet, right? So Christ, as he ascended, he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We see that Christ Jesus himself fills all in all. But now through the gifts that have been given to Redeemer OPC, it's through that work that he's filling all in all. He descended and he ascended, secured the spoils, and he gives them to you, and he's filling the world with his goodness and his grace through the work of Redeemer here. One writer says that Christ did not rise from the dead as a private person, but as a public head of the church. And the head being raised, the rest of the body shall not always lie in the grave. And where we've been placed is we've got the resurrection right here, and Christ is raised from the dead. And that secures your future resurrection. Do you realize that? Because Christ has resurrected and God's power in him has raised him from the dead, you can be assured that on that day, Christ will raise you from the dead. And we're waiting for that day. And there's a true waiting for that. But we still live today. There's still all that's in between, that we've been those who are united to Christ, who is risen now. We're united, and we are active, and we're living. We're a moving body. We're a moving kingdom. There's things happening here. And we're called to live in the application of our gifts here as Christ fills all in all through you and through me. So let's live. You might ask yourself, well, how do we do this? How do we do this living work? Hospitality is a good way. Like, find someone in your church, maybe someone whose name you don't know, and say, hey, sorry, I forgot your name, but why don't you come get a meal with me? Service, go ask. Come ask me, hey, how can I help? Prayer. Devoting yourself to being, say, a godly father or godly mother. Inviting friends to church, giving your time. Driving elderly saints to church who might need a ride. Maybe getting coffee with someone for your church and asking them, hey, how are you doing? How can I pray for you? Finding a younger saint and discipling them. Maybe you're a woman who's been in the faith for a decade or two. Go find a younger woman. Bring her under your wing and teach her to be a godly woman. Maybe you're a man who's been walking with the Lord for years. Go find a younger man. Take him under your wing. Pray for him. Read the Bible with him. Talk to him. Tell him about what Christ has done for you and what Christ does for his people. Maybe just send a text. Maybe give a phone call. And let these things be the things that fill all in all. Really simple things, but the things God uses. And there's a diversity of gifts, which we'll continue to get to in weeks to come. But I want to talk about three gifts briefly as we close that we all have. First one we just talked about for a second, but it's the gift of prayer. There's not a single Christian that doesn't have the gift of prayer. Because what is prayer? Talking to your Father in heaven. So apply that gift. Take that gift. Use it. And let God fill all in all through the prayers of the saints. Another gift that we all have is witness with our words and with our works. Showing the world something of the riches of Christ Jesus. Telling people, Christ is the King. He's the Lord of Lords. He's Judge, we've sinned against him, but he's provided a way into the Father's house. And give them that good word. And then let your works follow it. As you apply yourself, as you live for God, as you exercise yourself unto holiness, as you separate yourself to be a man or woman or child of the word, as you commit yourself to God, and then in your service to this body and to the world out there. And that'll work its way out in different ways. But we can all do it in little ways and great ways. And we can expect that as we bring all of our efforts together, we can do great things. I cannot do this without you. I need you. And you need me, not maybe particularly me, but we need each other. Like, we need to come together. We can't be rogue Christians. We need to be those who fill this world with the graces of God. Christ has commissioned us as the whole body functioning together. So can we do this together? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are a mighty King and that you've allowed us to partake in your filling work. Christ the Lord truly is risen today, Lord. Let that sink down into our hearts. Help us, Lord, to obey you, to be excited about doing the work that you have for us. Lord, even if it's not glamorous, Lord, even if it's oftentimes difficult. But Lord, we rest on you. We thank you for Christ, who is our King. We pray, Lord, that we would glorify him in our hearts, with our lips, and in our minds today. Christ's name we pray. Amen.